Great to worship the Lord together this morning. So today we're going to be looking at Hebrews once again, and today we're going to be in chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 18. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, into a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So you remember last week we were talking about in chapter 11 of Hebrews, which is known as the faith chapter, where he's basically stating what everybody did in the Old Testament, highlighting their faith. And highlighting the persecution they faced and highlighting what they went through in their life and the difficulties and the trials they faced. But yet he points out that they did not make it into the promised land. And he basically points that the reason they didn't make it was because of the fact they didn't have Christ, which is what they needed to alleviate the sin. And so then he's saying that, but you have Christ. In other words, it's the whole idea of what do you have to complain about? It's not like you live in a time where Christ hadn't come. It's not like you have to wait on the Messiah. The Messiah has already come. What are you complaining about? What is so difficult about it? And remember the point that I pointed out last week of how he said they were sawn in two for their belief in Christ, and yet, or their belief in God, but yet they did not give up their faith regardless of what they faced. And then at the beginning of chapter 12, he says, therefore, since all of this is true and we have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, then it's time for us to throw off everything that hinders and run the race that God has marked out for us. That regardless of what we face, regardless of how hard life gets, regardless of what we think is bad or what we think is good or what we think should be or the disappointments that we face, that we are to throw whatever hindrance off and run the race for God regardless of anything that happens or anything that takes place in our path. Now we can pause for a moment and we can talk about many stories. I'm sure you've heard many stories. I've heard many my entire life of people that were sold out to Christ, people that were sold out Christians, sold out believers, and the next thing you know, you just hear that they just went a different direction and they're no longer serving God and not even claiming to be Christian. You've probably known people like that. You've probably experienced that. You've probably seen that happen, and it makes you wonder at times, okay, how can I make sure that won't happen in my life? Because I don't know about you, but every encounter or every story I've heard of that type of a testimony, it wasn't as if they planned on doing it. It wasn't as if they said, you know what, next year I'm walking away from God. Next year I'm turning my back on God. No, it wasn't something like that. It just kind of happened. And so the danger then for us is to look at our own life and to say, okay, how am I in this for the long haul, or am I kind of partially in this? Am I somewhat in this? Am I all the way in this? And we have this discussion, and you've known this. If you've been around the church very long, you've heard discussions, especially around children and youth, that we talk about that there's no such thing as half Christian. There's no such thing as a partial Christian. You're either Christian or you're not. There's no half and half. There's no idea that I'm half for God and I'm half for myself, or I'm half for God and I'm half for the world. No, no such thing. You've heard all of that. There's no partial. There's no half. It's either all or nothing. The best way that I can tell you that I experienced this was a few times that I have been to the ocean. Have anybody here been to the ocean? You enjoy the ocean? What was your first experience like in the ocean? Because my first experience in the ocean, it wasn't until I was an adult, and I was not used to water like that. You know, I was used to pools, lakes, gentle water, right? I wasn't used to the smack and your hit. I think I've told you before that several years ago, the very first time I was in the ocean, I jumped in. It was cold water. Nobody else wanted to go in. And I turned around and I told everybody else, I said, "What are you, chicken? Bok, bok." And then I was wiped out by the wave and I ate the sand. God knows how to humble us, doesn't he? He knows how to do it. But what I learned was, when you go to the ocean, I really learned this. And I know that I'm watching the kids do this as well. You know, this whole bit about, I'm not used to it yet. It's kind of cold. Just let me just tiptoe in. And then not yet. I'm not ready for it. I'm just going to tip. In my perspective, that really doesn't work. That's not the way to go. Especially with kids. I've seen kids there for hours. I'm not going to tell you who, but I've seen kids there. I'm not yet. No, it's still too cold. I'm not there. No. There's only one way, right? What am I saying? What's the one way? Jump in, right? You just simply dive in. Your head's going to be numb. You're going to be frustrated. You're not going to be able to breathe, but you'll come up and you'll get used to it, right? That's kind of like what Christianity is. You see, the whole issue with Christianity is that we have too many times, there are too many people who are, "I'm not so sure. I'm just kind of tiptoeing. I'm not all the way. I'm just not used." Oh, yeah, give me some time. I'm not quite. I'm just not. But what the writer of Hebrews is explaining here at the beginning of chapter 12 is, hey, because we have this great cloud of witnesses, there's no, we're not going to tiptoe our way in here. We're going to throw off everything that hinders, is what he says at the beginning of chapter 12. Throw off everything that hinders and run this race. He didn't say walk this race. He didn't say jog this race. He didn't even say trot this race. He said run this race, which means this is it. I'm in for Christ and I'm all in. I'm all diving all in for Jesus. That's what he's after. Now we get to the later part here that we read today in chapter 12, where he begins talking about do not refuse the voice of Christ. And if you remember the whole theme of the book of Hebrews, the entire theme of the book of Hebrews is the whole issue of this kingdom. Of this kingdom and the king. That's what Hebrews is all about. A different kingdom and a different king. Why do I say different? Because this kingdom and this king is much different than any other kingdom or any other king that you know. It is completely different. And we know who the king is, right? The king is Jesus. We know that from the very beginning of Hebrews chapter 1, where he says, in the past, God spoke to the forefathers and the prophets at many times and in various ways, but now he speaks to us by his son. There's only one way now. Yes, then it was many times, many ways, many prophets. Yes, in the Old Testament they spoke, but now it is through one person. His name is Jesus. That's the beginning of Hebrews. And that's the explanation for the entire rest of Hebrews. That's the foundation for the rest of Hebrews, is that it's all about Jesus. He's the only one. Open your ears. Listen to him. Nobody else. Listen to Jesus. Jesus is it. There is no other. You cannot get your advice or guidance from anybody else. Jesus is it. And Jesus is the king of his kingdom. Now, what's so interesting about Jesus' kingdom is it's very difficult for me. I don't know if it's difficult for you, but it's difficult for me to understand his kingdom, and it's difficult for me to explain his kingdom. It's difficult for me to articulate his kingdom because his kingdom is just so, it's like the one person said, have you ever tried to nail Jell-O to the wall? You ever tried that? Just take a piece of Jell-O and hold it still. Can I get it to stay on the... That's how it feels sometimes when you're talking about this kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, because the kingdom of Christ is so different. Because what goes through my mind immediately when I think of kingdom is, well, a king. And when I think of a king, I think of a crown, and I think of a throne, and I think of his subordinates there, and I think of people that come into him that have gone against his decrees or gone against his rules, and he demands they go to the dungeon, or he demands they get executed. And I think of a kingdom that has a territory. This is my kingdom. This is it. And then he gets a report about somebody else is coming on the border over here who doesn't belong here. And so then this king's going to declare war on that king because they're coming into my territory. So I see kingdom as this territory thing of a king that gets whatever he wants because he's the one in charge, although he has to be very careful about what he eats. And I'm not talking about just health-wise, well, somewhat health-wise, but I'm talking about extreme health-wise, because he has to have taste testers. And what is the purpose of the taste tester? Somebody might be trying to kill the king. So have somebody else eat it first. If they survive, king, go ahead and eat it. There's no poison in it. You will live. Right? Can you imagine that? Wouldn't it be something if you were asked to be the taste tester? Yes, we're going to promote you to the taste testing committee of the king. So you're going to come in and taste the king's food before he eats it, just to make sure there's no poison in it. And we're going to know there's poison in it by seeing how you react. So you're just going to take a taste, and if you die, well, there's your service to the king. That's what I think of when I think of kings and kings. And I think of castles, you know, big castles and thrones And I think of the town crier when I think of king. Anybody else think of the town crier? The one that goes to the town, hear ye, the king has stated. And he gives the decree from the king for everybody to know what they have to do. And he's just the messenger because you can't see the king because the king's all the way back in his castle. And the only time you're going to see the king is if, number one, he thinks you're important, or number two, he thinks you're out to get him. And if he thinks you're out to get him, he's going to call you in and he's going to send you to the dungeon, or he's going to execute you, or he's going to put you on the taste testing crew. That's what I think of the kingdom. Territorial. Here's the wall. East wall, left wall, west wall, north wall, whatever. You have the wall. This is the territory of our kingdom, the territory of the king. This is what's so difficult about this. This is why it's trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. Because what I just said, get that completely out of your mind, because that is nothing like Jesus' kingdom. Nothing. Not one shred of what I just said is like Jesus' kingdom. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. Well, how can you tell us that? Well, the first thing is, that kind of kingdom I just described, you can reach out and touch it, can't you? You can reach out and touch the throne. You can reach out and touch the wall. You can reach out and touch the castle. You could reach out and even touch the subordinates. You could reach out and touch the main room of the king. You can reach out and touch the territory on a map. Can't do that with the kingdom of Jesus. Can't. Get it all out of your mind. Put it away. His kingdom is nothing like that whatsoever. Which brings me to the passage we're talking about today. So if we can skip ahead a couple slides, please. Okay, right here, back up to verse 25. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. He's saying right there, don't refuse Jesus who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. What? Jesus is going to shake the earth and he's going to shake the heaven. Think about that. Keep that in your mind for a moment, that the earth and the heaven is going to be shaken. Keep that in your mind. Think about what that is, what that looks like, what that means. The heaven and the earth, not just the earth, heaven and the earth is going to be shaken. Okay? This expression yet once more denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, have you ever seen something that cannot be shaken? Or experienced something that cannot be shaken? Have you ever experienced something that can be shaken? See, what he's saying is that Jesus is going to shake the heaven and the earth, not just the earth, heaven and the earth, he's going to shake it up. Shaken. So that the only thing that remains is what is unable to be shaken. Anybody ever experienced something that can't be shaken? Anybody here ever parent a teenager? You ever try to get them out of bed? Can't be shaken. Really? My parents had the issue with me as well. My father would always say, "You had all night to sleep. Get up." He wouldn't say it that loud, I guess, but yeah, he would say it. He would try to get me up. Then he would say, he would always give us a rule, "All right, from now on, I want to see feet on the floor before I go in the other room, because we got to get ready for church or whatever we're going to. We got to get feet on the floor." So my brother and I, we would put our feet on the floor. He'd walk out, cover right back up. 15 minutes later, "You were supposed to be, what are you, what's going on?" What, you see, teenager in bed, hey, it can't be shaken. And you're taking your life in your own hands if you're trying to mess with a teenager in bed, by the way. Can't be shaken. I want you to think about anything. Is there anything? Now, we laugh about that, and we can say, yeah, it can't be, but it can be. I mean, you can drag him out of bed. I mean, it can be. It's not like it's impossible. But is there anything that you have ever known that literally can't be shaken? I'll answer it for you. No. Because every single thing can be. Everything we see can be. Here's an example. Anyone here ever been let down? Show of hands, if you've ever been let down in your life, if anybody has ever let you down. You had an expectation, they didn't follow through, you were let down. Anybody here ever been let down by a politician? Ooh, I'm getting dangerous territory, aren't I? Ever? Raise your hand if you've ever been let down by a politician. If they ever promised something and they didn't come through and they let you down. Anybody here ever been let down by a political party? They said one thing and, well, I'm so glad that party's in charge, because as long as they're in charge, I hear what they're going to do, but they're not going to let that go through because they're in charge and I know what they stand for. I know what their platform is. They're never going to, and there it is. Vote goes through. Well, they just let me down. I'm pretty much getting to the place to understand, it's taken me a long time because I have a thick skull, to understand that it's you, as long as we are on this earth in this fallen world, you're just simply going to be let down. It's not the exception, it's the norm. Why is that? Well, that's what humans do. Humans just let each other down. They make promises they can't keep. For whatever reason, whatever motive it might have been, they just... I said earlier in the message about, you know, people that have walked away from God. Have you ever known somebody who was so close to God and then you hear they made a decision to, and you're like, what? Them of all people? How could they? I heard that all the time growing up. Anytime the evangelist would have to come forward and confess about what was going on. How could they? Because all of that can be shaken. And the problem is, what we typically like to do as human beings is we like to put our faith in the things that can be shaken. And by putting our faith in things that can be shaken, we are always continuously let down, which means our life is always a disaster because every time we think, not this time, there it is. Happens again. It can't be shaken. Well, continue to read. So go back one slide again, please. This expression yet once more denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken and as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So he's saying very clearly right there that when Jesus, he's going to shake up the earth, he's going to shake up the heavens, everything's going to be shaken up until the only thing that is left is what can't be shaken. And here it is. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Somebody should say, praise God, hallelujah, amen, shout to joy, something. Praise, right here. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, the kingdom that I described for you before, which isn't the idea of a castle, not the idea of a throne, not the idea of the walls, not the idea of the territory, not the idea of the taste testers, nothing like that. No, not in this kingdom. This is a kingdom beyond all of that. We can't even see it. We can't even touch it. But it is the one thing in this universe that cannot be shaken. In other words, this kingdom will never let you down. This king will never let you down. This Jesus will never let. So don't put your faith in that. Don't put your faith in them. Don't think you finally found it. They're not going to let me. No, it's only Jesus. He's the only one that can't be shaken. He's the only kingdom that can't be shaken. He's the only one that will never let you down for eternity. So what are we supposed to do? I guess our first response, as we did with the kids earlier, is that if that is true, then we definitely should be praising God. We definitely should offer worship to him. But look at what he says that we should do. He says this very clearly. He says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. You know what reverence and awe means? You might as well just say fear. That's what biblical it means, the idea of fear. Not the fear that God's going to, but it's the idea that God is so big that he deserves my gratitude, he deserves my praise. But notice it wasn't just gratitude that he said this. He said he deserves your service, which means your obedience, which means your life, which means you surrendering all to him, which means you're diving in. You're not just tiptoeing saying, I maybe. You're all the way in. Why? Because he has this unshakable kingdom. But then he gives us this other reason why. At the very end, he says, for our God is a consuming we don't like that verse, do we? I heard this years ago. A friend of mine, we were going to college together. He preached on this, and I remember him saying that, look at that verse. God is a consuming fire, and then he said, not a teddy bear. Why don't we like this? Well, this whole idea, God's a consuming fire. What's going to happen? We must speak, must listen when he speaks. Why? Because everything that is shakeable is going to be burned up. Everything. It's going to be burned up. Everything that let you down in life is going to be burnt up. I know it's hard to believe, but every political party is going to be burnt up. Because there's only going to be one thing left, Jesus and his kingdom. And what he's really saying here is, if you don't get in this kingdom, if you don't dive into the ocean, and I'm in, I'm all in, I'm not just tiptoeing in, this is it, I'm all in for this. What is he saying? Our God is a consuming fire. You're going to be a part of the shaken, which means you're going to be burned up. So on one hand, the idea is, yes, this is the kingdom that is eternal, the kingdom that won't go away. Thank God we have something that doesn't let us down because everything else does. Everybody here, I think, knows, I've said it before, that I'm what you would call, in some ways, I guess, people have called me this, I'm a techie, and that I love devices and I love technology. You can see it on me right now. You know, I love it. I don't use paper. Hate it. My whole life is up in the cloud right now. If ever somebody pulled the plug on the cloud, my life is over. Anybody here have Apple devices? Anybody? Raise your hand if you have an Apple device. Just one Apple device. Anybody get that emergency alert this week? If you didn't, you better check. Emergency alert straight from Apple. I think it was Thursday, Friday. That every Apple device, update it right now with this new software. Why? Because it is vulnerable to hackers, and hackers are getting into especially MacBooks, and you better make sure you do this update right. Okay, yeah, people looking confused. Yeah, it's there. Check it. It's there. See, sometimes you come to church for spiritual guidance. Sometimes you come to church for technical guidance, you know? Do the update right now. We'll take a break. Okay. Well, what does that tell you? Apple, who has always prided themselves from the very beginning, you can't get into our stuff. Oh, no, it's secure. And it is, for the most part, it is. Someone just found a flaw. Someone just found a way. But that shouldn't be news to us. Anybody here ever been let down by technology? Yeah. You know the joke I always hear when somebody, when a tech person's on the other line trying to help me with something that's not working, there's always the joke of this was supposed to make life so much easier, wasn't it? Ha 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 ha. And has it really? But even our technology. Flawed. There's nothing. We can't even put our faith in Apple anymore. But we do have this king and this kingdom that can't be shaken, which means we need to respond in gratitude and praise because he's the one that deserves it, and service means our life needs to belong to him, not just needs, but our life better belong to him. Why? Because he's a consuming fire and he's going to shake everything up. He's going to shake up the heavens and the earth. And the only thing that's going to be left is what can't be shaken. And the only thing that can't be shaken is his kingdom, which means I want to be in his kingdom. Because if I'm not in his kingdom, what's the result? Jesus and his kingdom is the only way. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for who you are and for all that you mean to us. And Lord, we don't want to tiptoe around our faith. We don't want to inch our way in. We want to be all in for because you've reminded us today that you are the only way. There is no other way other than you. You and your your kingdom is the only thing that won't be shaken. You and your kingdom is the only thing that won't be burnt up. The only hope that any of us have is you, your kingdom. So Jesus, show each of us what this means today. Show all of us how we can be a part of your kingdom, how we can be in it for the long haul, for the long run, how we can throw off everything that hinders and run this race marked out for us. Because it's all about you and your kingdom, nothing else. Show us what this means. We ask all these things in your name, in the name of Jesus. Would you stand with us, please?